I'm not going to apologize today. Rachel told me to stop doing it because God is bigger and knows better. So I hope you're ready. Today I'm talking about the will of God or aura farming Jesus. Yeah, I know. There was a girl, a student in one of my classes. She was a believer. The lesson was Christian living and the class had gotten sidetracked, talking about how God speaks. I love talking to primaries about God and how he works. I said that God can speak in threes, three different people saying the same thing at different times, three verses, three situations, etc. We had focused on a certain verse. I can't remember it now, but this girl put her hand up and said that she had seen that verse the day or week before as well. I told her that God was saying something, because he had pointed out to her twice that she needed to listen, and that if he says something again, the same thing, a third time, stop whatever you're doing and pay attention. We moved to the bookwork and I went around the class and checked the memory verses. I got to this girl and she'd not memorized the one for the week, which was unusual. I was asked if there was anything that she could remember, any verse at all. No. A song? She began to sing quietly the song she'd been learning on the piano. I stopped her and repeated the words to her. Her eyes grew big. And when when that was the same verse we had been talking about the third time. God was talking to that girl. I told her to go and talk to her mum and ask God what he might be saying. Such a cool moment to have when you're and you get to say to a child, for real, that the creator of the universe is talking to them. I always find it exciting when God starts to talk. I've learned to shut up and listen, keep an eye out and be ready. I've seen it heaps of times and today is no different, except this time I've seen the setup, so to speak. I know for certain that God is trying to get our attention. This is how. God speaks to us in many ways. He says significant things in the Bible in threes. He talks through the Bible, through others coming to us and saying things. One way that God speaks to us is in threes, when he wants our attention or is really trying to get the message across. For the last 3 weeks, three people have independently prepared three sermons. They all have the same theme with different perspectives. I finished the bulk of mine before Lance gave his last week. I missed Max, but I'm told it was really good. All three on the same theme. If it is you who God is talking to, please listen. This is important. I'm excited to learn what it is that God has in store for you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I know you have words for us today. I know that you are trying to get us to listen and step into this theme of actively waiting on you and for you. Please soften our hearts and open our ears so that your spirit can talk to us and we can understand. Amen. Okay. Thanks for listening today. Hopefully I'm not too cringe at how I express what God has put on my mind. Maybe I'll lose aura points or not. Maybe I don't have any to start with, not sure. One thing I do know is that life, aura farming Jesus, listening for his call and finding it, is the best life I could ever have, whether I knew what I was doing or not. In other words, thanks for listening today. I hope that you can hear something in this talk, message, thing, and you can apply it to your life. If I make a mess of this, I guess that I'm just trying to be obedient. What I do know is that following Jesus, ultimately finding his calling in my life, has been the best adventure ever. How do I know his calling? What makes me say that I know what God has for me and I'm walking in it? The main idea of today is God's will. What is it? How can I find it? Will I like what he has for me? What if I get it wrong? So many questions. Well, what is the will of God? Many people are scared of God's will because they are afraid that God will give them a calling they don't like. As if God has a nasty backstory and wants to get us to do the stuff that we find terrible. Or that God will shut us up in a cage and we will experience we'll experience his restriction for the rest of our lives. It could be boring. Sometimes I felt if I followed God fully, I would never marry. I would miss the man God had for me if I was too focused on his will. One word I have for this thinking is lies. It's subtle, but it is still a fat, stinking lie. God did not bring us into this world to hate every moment of life. He didn't create us, design us, and crafted, designed and crafted to enjoy certain things. For those special things to be lost or forgotten in a calling or purpose God made for us. God brought us into this world to find purpose and to live life to the full. He created you perfectly with the likes and dislikes you have for his plan. He put the joy in your heart when you get to play the piano or fix a car or solve a Wordle. Yeah, but I don't know his plan. I will get to this. Patience, please. I have to interrupt myself because it is something that happens all day long, every day. I'm more used to it than this opportunity to speak for a long time without a peanut gallery calling out random things, cutting up erasers or swinging on chairs. Luke 11:11 says it plainly. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If then, though you are evil, which is us, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God is good. He has a plan. He will give you good stuff. Matthew 7:9-11. Same thing in a different words. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If then, though you are evil, which is us, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? God gives good things. Trust him to give you the calling or purpose that suits you to a T. Lean into it if you sense it. I spent ages, years of my life afraid that God would give me a calling that I didn't want to do. Such a waste of worry. I held back for such a long time, only to find that God knew all along what was best. He has your back. For example, I was worried about how I really needed to be around people. For a long time, I thought I was broken and needed help. I can spend half a day on my own and start to go a bit nuts. Turns out that being a teacher is perfect. I have thousands of interactions a day. Suits me to a T. God had my back. He made me this way for a purpose. I mean, Psalm 23. We're supposed to practice this. We're supposed to be calm, as if we were sitting by water. We're supposed to be able to see God's generosity, even when the enemy is looking at our contentment with the stink eye. God has our back. What are our expectations of what it will feel like when we find the will of God? I was afraid until I understood and trusted, then stepped into it and rejoiced. Some people think that if they look for it, it will be a Billy Graham experience and scares them silly. Sometimes God does that, takes you right out of your comfort zone like Gideon. It doesn't often happen that way, but you never know. More often, though, he has designed you for a purpose that both of you can rejoice in. What qualifications do I have to talk about this? Not much. I guess in the big scheme of things, I've lived for 50 years. I know what it feels like not to be in the will of God. It's something that God has made very clear to me over the years. For example, I've lived in 28 houses so far. The longest time I've lived in one house is the current house, and that's about 8 years. Every place that my family or I own or have rented, I have known when I stepped into it, this is where we're going to live. Always happens. I know I'm a bit weird, but I am in the will of God. The kids at school have heard this experience I had in my mid-20s-ish. I used to help a blind man to get to church. I'd pick him up and lead him in. There was one Monday night that I thought, it'd be cool to write a letter to encourage this man, record it on tape, and send it. It would have arrived on the Wednesday. Anyway, I forgot about it. I didn't do it. The next Sunday, I found out that his sister had passed away on that Wednesday night. How much would that recording have meant, the encouragement he would have received on that day his sister passed? I didn't follow God's will. While all is right between us, there are consequences for not listening. When I was 16, I met God in a very real way. He spoke to me in an audible voice, "Follow me, follow." I couldn't resist. I followed, just like the disciples in the Bible when Jesus said the same thing to them. We think Jesus must have said more, but no, he said what he said. The Bible is truth. When the King of the universe tells you to follow, that is what you do. I didn't want to spend my life sitting on a pew, so I asked my youth leader what to do. She told me, go home, have faith, read the Bible. I did. God told me in Psalm 91 and 92 to sing for joy at the work of his hands. When I began acting in plays, it felt like I'd begun to breathe fresh air for the first time. My spirit rejoiced with the Holy Spirit. The best way I can explain it is that all my insides were right. When I accidentally organized to teach music history to a small group of homeschooling kids, it felt so right and so easy, almost as good as singing. I realized that the life for me was teaching, not only that, but teaching music, drama, and creativity. God designed me for it. It was something I've always enjoyed, maybe not always good at. I had to learn stuff, had to work at to get good, work at some of it to get good at bits of it. This is a side quest now. If you're a youth leader, you can let your, if you're not a youth group leader, you can let your eyes glaze over a bit. I teach, I love it. There are hard, ugly bits. When I was a teen, I told my Sunday school teacher that I kind of felt like I was supposed to teach. They didn't really do much about it, probably because I didn't sound confident. If a young person comes to you and says, I think God is saying, please listen to them. Find the voice of God. I accidentally came across teaching 10 years later and moved back onto the right path. Youth leaders, listen to your kids. It's important. End of side quest. Where God wants me to be is something that I have found clear and fairly easy to understand on a few levels, and I thought I would share these with you today. I feel like a salesman. No, so you want to find the will of God, hey? Here are three easy steps. Sorry, not three easy steps. There aren't seven steps to find the path God has for you, not even a diet plan to make the will of God obvious in your life. I have a word of advice and four questions for you to consider. My advice is this: don't overthink it. Instead, overpray it. Live life to the full and lean into God. 1 Corinthians 7:25 to 35. This passage talks about if you are single, don't try to get married. If you're married, don't try to be single. Very broad paraphrase. Look it up, read it. It's good stuff. What I think Paul is saying is you are enough. Let God work through the tough stuff. Live life to the full and serve just as you are. He will bring opportunities to you. Learn to hear his voice. Take them when they come. That is my advice on the back of Paul. Who knew stuff? Also, King Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, not self-proclaimed, but God-blessed, with unparalleled wisdom. Surely he knows stuff. This is what he said quite a few times in Ecclesiastes. It says, there is nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink and that he should enjoy his work. This is from the wisest man in history. God told us he was. He must have some idea about life. So, my first question on the quest to find God's will. Where are you at? Married, single, family, student? This is half your answer. Paul seems adamant that where you find yourself is what you should lean into. If you're married, or affirm Jesus. If you're single, or affirm Jesus. If you're working in a factory or as a finance editor, or affirm Jesus. In other words, be as much like Jesus as you can where you find yourself. Be kind, be accepting of others, be loving, have high standards, respect others and yourself. Take time to make sure you are like Jesus by praying, singing, learning about who he is, how he loved, and how he behaved. My second question on the quest to find the will of God, what are you doing where you are at? Growing a family, working, studying, in prison, a job you hate, love? This is the next quarter of the equation. You have a job, school, town where you are. Do you leave everything? Your family, your job, your town? Sometimes yes, but usually you are there for God's sake, his purpose. It could be that you are to gather up others that you know and show them how to follow Jesus. It could be that he has some more learning for you to do. It could be that where God wants you to move is not ready yet for you. I spent 40 years wondering where my husband was. My husband wasn't ready yet. I wanted to get married when I was 18 and have 12 kids. Seriously. Serious, absolutely seriously. And the life of a mother, and live the life of a mother with a house full of family. This is going to sound weird, but my future husband was married to another woman, growing a family that I would later be part of. Am I upset or bitter? No, I see God's plan. If I had married Tim any earlier, we would not have been right. We both had issues to work through. God's plan is perfect. His purpose and plan are worth the wait. If in those 40 years I had waited and done nothing, how could I be ready for Tim, that family? While I waited, I learned things that prepared me for a family of teenagers, unbeknownst to me. School was a training ground. I was looking after my friends' children as they grew up. If you are waiting, wait actively. Learn stuff. Grow your character. My third question in the quest to find the will of God, what are you good at? Or what do you enjoy? This is the best bit. This is what God has put inside your heart that you love. He made you to love cars or trees or fish or shoes. God gives good gifts to his children. He didn't make you to love fishing and the outdoors to have you stuck in an office counting stuff. He didn't make you to love sewing and crafting to have you work in the racing car industry. They are broad examples, but I hope you understand what I mean. He created you for a purpose. Tick. What do you enjoy doing? Fishing? Tick. Do it as much as you can for God. Tick. You love fixing stuff. Tick. Do it as much as you can for God. It may not be your primary income, but do it as if you were doing it for God. Do you love farming or dirt? I love dirt. So much potential. Tick. Do it as if the crop you sow will form a meal for the God of the universe. My fourth question in the quest of the will of God. Do you have a burning desire to be somewhere or do something? This is usually a fair indication that God is in this desire somewhere. Spoiler alert, God put that desire there. Or on the other foot, often for me it is true, it is a place where you are becoming uncomfortable and not really fitting anymore. Then usually it's the time to move. This part is about learning to be friends with the Holy Spirit. I can say friends because friends understand each other and enjoy spending time together. They know the other's strengths and abilities. God is a God of intimacy and a great aura, which shouldn't work but does, and wants us to know him better than our spouses, kids, or friends. Once you are friends with the Holy Spirit, you get to know what he is thinking, kind of like finishing each other's sentences, that inner, I think it's time to move on feeling. Note to selves, always check with the Word of God. If your desire is to blow up a bridge or damage something or hurt someone, there's a good chance that that won't line up with Scripture. Always check it out. So, okay, this far you were still nutbrook. You've got it all wrong. I don't get it. I just want to go out there to get the morning tea that has been waiting for me since before the service began. Okay, I get that. Lots of words, a big room with lots of people. Hang in there. Maybe this is for you. Just gets better. If none of these fit and you're still out on a limb. You're waiting and waiting and God is still silent. It happens. Just letting you know that there were 400 years of silence from when God, silence from God between the Old Testament and the New. It's okay. This is the best part. We can't get this bit wrong. The more important thing is this. While you're waiting for God to bop you on the head, this is your calling. This is the thing that is the fail-safe. One, love God. Two, love people. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind with all your strength. Mark 12:30. We are also told to love others as we love ourselves. So, if you are waiting for the lightning bolt, nothing wrong with that. While you are waiting, wherever you are, be the one who is encouraging those around you, building them up. If you are in a job that you hate and God has not made an opportunity for you to change that, encourage those around you. Build them up. Be the positive energy in the negative pool of gross, slimy horribleness. Too often I hear of people who are looking for the big dream calling. Nothing wrong with that. Except that the waiting is done the wrong way. They are stopped, still, as in not in peace still, but in stunned still. Someone or something has convinced us that because we don't get the bop on the head, that we are wandering alone in a sea with no purpose. Once again, lies. We are born again with purpose. I've seen this happen with young people looking for a partner or vocation, afraid to go out to be in the adventure of life because they're afraid that God will forget them and not give them a partner or their dream job because they might be too focused on God to realize that their life partner and their dream job was right in front of them. If they go overseas, they will miss out. Nothing but lies. So not true. In the middle of everything that God has plopped into your lap, at the right time, the right place, he will deposit the opportunities. You just have to be listening. Live life in abundance, not in the waiting room. Live life to the full, not just to fill up the pew. A lot of people have been taken back by the amount of stuff I've done or the normative boundaries I've crossed. I don't look that impressive, gorgeous, or heroic, but I took God at his word, as we all should, because it is the only truth out there, and asked, why not? Most of the time, it worked out for me. Sometimes I found out why not, but mistakes are usually the best teachers. There was a time I had worked in Melbourne as a teacher's aide for about 7 years. I loved my job, and I enjoyed teaching. The school had become uncomfortable and there were things that were going on that really, really annoyed me. On a whim, I decided to go back to uni to get my teaching qualification. I applied and found it was the last day for applications to be put in. It was God trying to get me to move. Taking opportunities might be scary, but it's usually God who delivers them to your door. God guarantees the fulfillment that you need is in following his calling, singled, married, studied, retiring. I don't have to be responsible for this claim. It's God's claim, and his job to keep it. So in summary, just in case you're looking up the term aura farming and you missed most of what I was saying and went down that rabbit hole in the internet, you are created with purpose already. God knows the beginning and the end. Trust him and the opportunities he has shown you. Why not? Wherever you are, whatever you are doing, whoever you are doing life with, be the positive influence in that situation. Love God, love people. If you have a burning desire to be somewhere or do something, pursue it. Take God at his word. He won't fail. He never has. And he never will. Finally, aura farm Jesus. He doesn't make stuff up. He is the most trustworthy soul you can ever rely on. Be like him as much as you can, and everything else will follow. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, cement in us today your purpose for us. Convict us so that we can show love and mercy to those around us. Help us to know you better than our closest friend. Teach us to listen to your advice and hear you call us closer. Amen.